Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call of our Krishna Katamela. And today we are very fortunate to have with us Her Grace Tiffany Mataji to enlighten on the topic of Lord Krishna's daily activities. Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining this session and giving your very precious time and association and enlightening on the topic, Mataji. So before handing you to Mataji, I would like to hand over the call to Kirtida Mataji for a brief introduction. Kirtida Mataji, please take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Shyama Supriya Mataji, for your warm welcome always. And thank you each and every one of you to join us for this wonderful session. And today we are really fortunate to have Her Grace Tiffany Mataji with us. And I am honored to give her brief introduction. So Tiffany Mataji, you know, we all know, she, first of all, I would like to say that she is known for her happy face in Bhakti Sangha. Her smile is so contagious that anyone can just after seeing her start smiling. And she actually came into Krishna consciousness in 2015, when she came to Bhakti Center in New York City. And it was by divine arrangement of Krishna that she found Bhakti Center website. And after looking it over, she realized that this is the place where she originally belongs to. And 2 weeks later, she went to Bhakti Center and there she saw Shri Radha Muralidhar, and she instantly became attached to them. And ever that day since, she has been in the association of devotees and she has been attached to Shri Radha Muralidhar. Tiffany Mataji is now really currently involved in giving introduction for the speakers on Bhakti Sangha Japa group, where she gives a very, very kind introduction with a very, very sweet and contagious smile. She also serves with Her Grace Sudharma Devi Dasi on the Hare Krishna Community Radio, where sharing the offerings of many glorious devotees in our movement. She creates a Vaishnavi podcast as part of her service for the radio. She serves on the Vaishnava Ministry North America, co-hosting a monthly online Sangha, conducting interviews for a Bond of Love series and several other services. She is also the representative for the domestic abuse at the Philadelphia Temple, where she arranges a bi-weekly women's Sangha. And she really feels fortunate, and we do feel fortunate that you are the part of Bhakti Sangha group. And just like Bhakti Sangha inspires her spiritually, so she also inspires many of us. And we all are very deeply grateful to Tiffany Mataji that, you know, she is with us and we know her personally. And today her topic is very, very beautiful topic, very unique topic, that is Lord Krishna's daily activities. And as soon as I came to know about this topic, the very verse that of Bhagavad Gita that reminds me was Yad Yad Acharati Shreshthas. Yes, Krishna says that I, you know, being in this, being a Supreme Lord, still comes as a normal human being and conduct all the activities just to set up the standard so that others can follow me. So it's such a beautiful topic. We are eagerly looking forward to hear from you, Mataji. So please take over. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranams.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam to you, Kirtida Sundari Mataji. Thank you so much for reading that introduction. I am not worthy of the love that you gave by reading it and what you put into it. It was really, really touching the way you read that. So thank you so very much. And thank you so much, dear devotees, for your patience and your kindness for allowing me to give this class today. I am not qualified, but I just want to share this with you because, you know, I chose this particular topic, this chapter of Krishna book, the daily activities of Lord Krishna, because as an aspiring sadhaka, my sadhana is something that I'm constantly working on. And as a someone who's living in the grihastha ashram, I found this very inspiring. So it's not one of the most exciting chapters of Krishna book, but it is a very touching one. So before I get to the text, I'll go ahead and start with our pranams, our opening prayers. So Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Mitam Shah Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tata Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patita Nam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Desha Tarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. So thank you again, dear devotees, for giving me this opportunity to purify myself and to learn myself. This is, again, I'm not qualified to speak on such transcendental topics. However, as a service, I want to offer this to all of you and to Srila Prabhupada and to the Supreme Lord. Also, please forgive me for any mistakes that I may make out of my ignorance. Again, I'm only trying to serve and I can only speak from my very tiny realizations from the very exalted Vaishnavas who I have heard from. So I'll just go ahead and share the screen. Let's see. Okay. All right. So let me open that up a little bigger. Okay. So again, my topic today is chapter 70 from Krishna book, and it's Lord Krishna's daily activities. And so I'll just start by reading. It is a long chapter, so I will try to read it quickly. I may not be able to read the entire thing, so please forgive me, and please feel free to, you know, take the book out yourself. I'm sure everybody has a copy of it, and if not, it's here available on Veda Base. So Lord Krishna's daily activities. From the Vedic mantras, we learn that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do. Na tasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. But if the Supreme Lord has nothing to do, how can we speak of the activities of the Supreme Lord? From the previous chapter, it is clear that no one can act the way Lord Krishna does. We should clearly note this fact. The activities of the Lord should be followed, but they cannot be imitated. For example, Krishna's ideal life as a householder can be followed, but if one wants to imitate Krishna by expanding into many forms, that is not possible. We should always remember, therefore, that Lord Krishna, although playing the part of a human being, simultaneously maintains the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We can follow Lord Krishna's dealings with his wives as an ordinary human being, but his dealings with more than 16,000 wives at one time cannot be imitated. The conclusion is that to become ideal householders, we should follow in the footsteps of Lord Krishna as he displayed his daily activities, but we cannot imitate him at any stage of our life. Lord Krishna used to lie down with his 16,000 wives, but he would also rise from bed very early in the morning, 3 hours before sunrise. By nature's arrangement, the crowing of the cocks warns the Brahma Muhurta hour. There is no need of alarm clocks. As soon as the cocks crow early in the morning, it is to be understood that it is time to rise from bed. Hearing that sound, Krishna would get up from bed, but his rising early was not very much to the liking of his wives. The wives of Krishna were so much attached to him that they would lie in bed embracing him. And as soon as the cocks crowed, Krishna's wives would be very sorry and would immediately condemn the crowing. Okay. So I just want to pause here and make sure, Can everybody see the screen okay? Can you see the Krishna book that I'm sharing?
Yes, Mataji, we can see that.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make sure. And I also just wanted to add a little comment on what I've read so far, because again, as Kirtita Sundari Mataji quoted that verse from Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna, one of the things that he does when he appears on the planet is, as he's in this pastime, he is acting as a human being, as to show us, to be an exemplar of how we should act as householders. And even already what I've read, you know, rising early in the morning and so that we can perform our spiritual activities during the Brahma Muhurta time, is so beautiful and transcendental and so enlivening. And we all do that, you know, we all get to chant together. And that's just such a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. So Lord Krishna used to lie down with his wives. I'm sorry, I did read that part. In the garden, within the compound of each palace, there were Parijata flowers. The Parijata is not an artificial flower. We remember that Krishna brought the Parijata trees from heaven and planted them in all his palaces. Early in the morning, a mild breeze would carry the aroma of the Parijata flower, and Krishna would smell it just after rising from bed. Due to this aroma, the honeybees would begin their humming vibration, and the birds also would begin their sweet chirping sounds. Altogether, it would sound like the singing of professional chanters engaged in offering prayers to Krishna. Although Srimati Rukmini Devi, the first queen of Lord Krishna, knew that the Brahma Muhurta is the most auspicious time of the day, the entire day, she would feel disgusted at the appearance of the Brahma Muhurta because she was not very happy to have Krishna leave her side in bed. Despite Rukmini Devi's disgust, Lord Krishna would immediately get up from bed exactly on the appearance of the Brahma Muhurta. An ideal householder should learn from the behavior of Lord Krishna how to rise early in the morning, however comfortably he may be lying in bed embraced by his wife. So you can read about this pastime of the Parijata flowers in actually chapter 59 of the Krishna book. And it's also, of course, this is all from the 10th canto about how Krishna brought the Parijata trees. But this, the section where it spoke about, you know, altogether, it would sound like the singing of professional chanters engaged in offering prayers to Krishna, you know, the humming of the humming of the honeybees. Again, just brings me back to our beautiful association in the morning, early morning, when we're all chanting together. You know, association of devotees is so very important. It keeps us all, it strengthens our faith, and it keeps us all together. I always say that Krishna has a way of making sure that we are always in touch with other devotees, or we always, you know, happen upon other devotees. And when we practice devotional service together, we are all enlivened and we are keeping Krishna in our hearts together. So after rising from bed, Lord Krishna would wash his mouth, hands, and feet, and would immediately sit down and meditate on himself. This does not mean, however, that we should also sit down and meditate on ourselves. We have to meditate upon Krishna, Radha Krishna. That is real meditation. Krishna is Krishna himself. Therefore, he was teaching us that the Brahma Muhurta should be utilized for meditation on Radha Krishna. By such meditation, Krishna would feel very much satisfied. And similarly, we will also feel transcendentally pleased and satisfied if we utilize the Brahma Muhurta period to meditate on Radha and Krishna. And if we think of how Sri Rukmini Devi and Krishna acted as ideal householders to teach the whole human society to rise early in the morning and immediately engage in Krishna consciousness. There is no difference between meditating on the eternal forms of Radha Krishna and chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. As for Krishna's meditation, he had no alternative but to meditate on himself. The object of meditation is Brahman, Paramatma, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. But Krishna himself is all three. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, the localized Paramatma in his plenary partial expansion. And the all-pervading Brahman, effulgence, is the personal rays of his transcendental body. Therefore, Krishna is always one, and for him there is no differentiation. That is the difference between an ordinary living being and Krishna. For an ordinary living being, there are many distinctions. An ordinary living being is different from his body, and he is different from other species of living entities. A human being is different from other human beings and different from the animals. Even in his own body, there are different bodily limbs. We have our hands and legs, but our hands are different from our legs. The hand cannot act like a leg, nor can the leg act like a hand. The ears can hear, but the eyes cannot. And the eyes can see, but the ears cannot. All these differences are technically called swajatya vijatya. So the bodily limitation whereby one part of the body cannot act as another part of the body is totally absent from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no difference between his body and himself. He is completely spiritual, and therefore there is no difference between his body and soul. Similarly, he is not different from his millions of incarnations and plenary expansions. Baladev is the first expansion of Krishna, and from Baladev expands Sankarsana, Vasudev, Prajumya, and Aniruddha. From Sankarsana, there is an expansion of Narayana, and from Narayan, there is a second quadruple expansion of Sankarsana, Vasudev, Prajumya, and Aniruddha. Similarly, there are innumerable other expansions of Krishna, but all of them are one. Krishna has many incarnations, such as Lord Nishima, Lord Boar, Lord Fish, and Lord Tortoise. But there is no difference between Krishna's original two-handed form, like that of a human being, and these incarnations of gigantic animal forms. Nor is there any difference between the action of one part of his body and that of another. His hands can act as his legs, his eyes can act as his ears, and his nose can act as another part of his body. Krishna smelling and eating and hearing are all the same. We limited living entities have to use a particular part of the body for a particular purpose, but there is no such distinction for Krishna. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said, Angyani Yashya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti. Krishna can perform the activities of one limb with any other limb. So by analytical study of Krishna and his person, it is concluded that he is the complete whole. When he meditates, therefore, he meditates on himself. Self-meditation by ordinary men, designated in Sanskrit as soham, is simply imitation. Krishna can meditate on himself because he is the complete whole, but we cannot imitate him or meditate on ourselves. Our body is a designation superimposed upon ourself, the soul. Krishna's body is not a designation. Krishna's body is also Krishna. There is no existence of anything foreign in Krishna. Wherever or whatever there is in Krishna is also Krishna. He is therefore the supreme, indestructible, complete existence of the supreme truth. So just stopping there to add that, I was listening to a recording of Srila Prabhupada giving class. And one of the beautiful things that he said in this class was that when we perform devotional service, that one is not more important than the other. You know, as we know, the first three of the nine processes, Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Shravanam, or Smaranam, I'm sorry, remembering the Lord, are what we consider in our movement the most important. But Srila Prabhupada explained in this class, and I'm sorry, I don't have the date and location of the class. I'll have to go back and look for it, but it just came to mind now. He explained that all of our service to Krishna is on the transcendental platform, all of it. So he was saying how in a temple, the devotee who is serving the deity and doing deity worship is not doing more important service than the devotee who is cleaning the temple floor. You know, so all of our service is on the transcendental platform. And so when we meditate on Krishna, when we are performing Smaranam, when we're remembering Krishna, as I already read, that is, you know, like chanting the holy names. So I also wanted to share this this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's from Madhya 22:25. Tate Krishna Bhaje Kare Gurara Sevana Maya Jala Shute Paya Krishnara Charana. And the translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. If the conditioned soul engages in the service of the Lord and simultaneously carries out the orders of his spiritual master and serves him, he can get out of the clutches of Maya and become eligible for shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. And this purport really touched me deeply. It is a fact that every living entity is eternally a servant of Krishna. This is forgotten due to the influence of Maya, which induces one to believe in material happiness. Being illusioned by Maya, one thinks that material happiness is the only desirable object. This material consciousness is like a chain around the neck of the conditioned soul. As long as he is bound to that conception, he cannot get out of Maya's clutches. However, if by Krishna's mercy, he gets in touch with the bona fide spiritual master, abides by his order, and serves him, engaging other conditioned souls in the Lord's service, he then attains liberation in Lord Sri Krishna's shelter. So I just, it's a short, one of Srila Prabhupada's short purports, but it was so touching to read this because, you know, it's also a little heavy and powerful because he's telling us here that, you know, being illusioned by Maya, we think that material happiness is the only desirable object. We think that by attaining some kind of material object, that you know, it's going to make us happy. And I really, you know, I like what Srila Prabhupada says here, the material consciousness is like a chain around the neck of the conditioned soul. It is like our chain. And as long as we are bound by that conception, we cannot get out of Maya's clutches. But Krishna is so merciful. And if we get in touch with a bona fide spiritual master, abide by his order and serve him, engaging in other conditioned souls in the Lord's service, we will attain liberation in Lord Sri Krishna's shelter. And so this morning for our Bhagavatam class, we had the beautiful, an auspicious, you know, pleasure to have His Holiness Bhakti Anugraha Janardhan Swami Maharaj. And every time he comes, it's so enlivening because he always leaves us with such beautiful instruction. And this morning, you know, one of the questions, I asked him the question about engaging other conditioned souls in the Lord's service and how we do that. And his answer was so beautiful. And it goes back to this this chapter in the Krishna book about, you know, Krishna being the exemplar for us as grihasthas. And his response was that we just have to, you know, deepen our own spirituality, deepen our own devotional service, our own practice in Krishna consciousness, and just be, you know, examples, to be pure examples for other people, other conditioned souls in the world, in Kali Yuga, in this very difficult time. And that now brings me to another verse that I wanted to share. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, chapter 14, text 4. Shreya Shrutim Bhaktim Ujasya Te Vibho Klisyanti Ye Kevala Bodhilabdaye Teshamashau Klesh kleshala eva shishyate nanya dyatastula tasavagatinam. My dear Lord, devotional service unto you is the best path for self-realization. If someone gives up that path and engages in the cultivation of speculative knowledge, he will simply undergo a troublesome process and will not achieve his desired result. As a person who beats an empty husk of wheat cannot get grain, one who simply speculates cannot achieve self-realization. His only gain is trouble. Loving service to the Supreme Person is the natural and eternal function of every living entity. If a person renounces his own constitutional function and instead laboriously seeks so-called enlightenment through impersonal speculative knowledge, his result is simply the trouble and bother that come from following an artificial process. A fool may beat an empty husk not knowing that the grain has already been removed. Similarly, foolish is the person who throws his mind again and again into the pursuit of knowledge without surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is the very substance and goal of knowledge, just as grain is the substance and goal of the entire agricultural effort. Vedic knowledge, or indeed material science, without the personality of Godhead is like an empty and useless husk of wheat. One may argue that by practicing yoga or cultivating impersonal knowledge, one can acquire prestige, wealth, mystic power, or even impersonal liberation. But these so-called gains are actually useless because they do not situate the living being in his constitutional position of loving service to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, such results, being superfluous to the living being's essential nature, are impermanent. As stated in the Nishrima Purana, Patreshu Pushpeshu Paleshu Toyeshva Krita Labyeshu, Vedavasatsu, Bhaktya Sulabye Purushe Purane Muktye Kim Artam Kriyate Prayatna. Since the primeval personality of Godhead is easily attained by offering him such things as leaves, flowers, fruits, and water, which are all found without difficulty, why does one need to endeavor for liberation separately? Although the process of devotional service to Lord Krishna is very simple, it is extremely difficult for stubborn, conditioned souls to completely humble themselves before the Supreme Personality of Godhead and absorb themselves 24 hours a day in his loving service. The mood of loving service is anetama to belligerent, conditioned souls determined to defy God and enjoy. When such stubborn conditioned souls attempt to bypass surrendering to God through proud attempts at philosophical speculation, austerity, and yoga, they are turned back to the material platform by the powerful laws of God and violently merged into the heaving ocean of insignificance called the material world. So another heavy purport and a very good reminder that if we continue to try to, you know, find happiness in this material world and, you know, and ignore our constitutional position as servants of the Supreme Lord, we will end up being violently merged back into the heaving oceans of insignificance. So that's something that we need to be conscious of and to remember that we are servants of Krishna and our duty is to perform devotional service. So I'm just going to read a little bit more here from the Krishna book. Okay, so going on to this chapter or this paragraph. Krishna's existence is not relative existence. Everything else but Krishna is relative truth. But Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. Krishna does not depend on anything but himself for his existence. Our existence, however, is relative. For example, only when there is light of the sun, the moon, or electricity are we able to see. Our seeing, therefore, is relative, and the light of the sun, the moon, and electricity is also relative. They are illuminating only because we see them as such. But dependence and relativity do not exist in Krishna. His activities are not dependent on anyone else's appreciation, nor does he depend on anyone else's help. He is beyond the existence of limited time and space. And because he is transcendental to time and space, he cannot be covered by the illusion of Maya, whose activities are limited. In the Vedic literature, we find that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has multi-potencies. Since all such potencies are emanations from him, there is no difference between him and his potencies. Certain philosophers say, however, that when Krishna comes, he accepts the material body. But even if it is accepted that when he comes to the material world, he accepts material body, it should not be concluded also that because the material energy is not different from him, his body does not act materially. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, therefore, that he appears by his own internal potency, Atma Maya. So more to meditate on and to use for Smaranam. Krishna is called the Supreme Brahman because he is the cause of creation, the cause of maintenance, and the cause of disillusion. Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva are different expansions of these material qualities. All these material qualities can act upon the conditioned souls, but there is no such action, reaction, and reaction upon Krishna because these qualities are simultaneously one with and different from him. Krishna himself is simply Satchitananda Vigraha, the eternal form of bliss and knowledge. And because of his inconceivable greatness, he is called the Supreme Brahman. His meditation on Brahman or Paramatma or Bhagavan is on himself only and not on anything else beyond himself. This meditation cannot be imitated by the ordinary living entity. So after his meditation, the Lord would regularly bathe early in the morning with clear, sanctified water. Then he would change into fresh clothing, cover himself with a wrapper, and engage in his daily religious functions. Out of his many religious duties, the first was to offer oblations into the sacrificial fire and silently chant Gayatri Mantra. Lord Krishna, as the ideal householder, executed all the religious functions of a householder without deviation. When the sunrise became visible, the Lord would offer specific prayers to the sun god. The sun god and other demigods mentioned in the Vedic scriptures are described as different limbs of the body of Lord Krishna. And it is the duty of the householder to offer respects to the demigods and great sages, as well as the forefathers, because they are all the limbs, the different limbs of Lord Krishna. That's why we honor and respect the demigods and the great sages and forefathers. As it is said in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has no specific duty to perform in this world, and yet he acts just like an ordinary man living an ideal life within this material world. Living in an ideal life. Again, more inspiration for us all as grihasthas. In accordance with Vedic ritualistic principles, the Lord would offer respects to the demigods. The regulative principle by which the demigods and forefathers are worshipped is called tarpana, which means pleasing. One's forefathers may have to take a body on another planet, but by performance of this tarpana system, they become very happy wherever they may be. It is the duty of the householder to make his family members happy. It is our duty, everyone. So I, again, as you know, as a neophyte devotee, I often struggle with this. You know, we all hear about how we need to renounce and all of these things. So it's often a struggle in my own mind. You know, I know I want to, you know, of course, make my children happy and take care of them. And of course, I love them. And it's my duty to love and care for them. at the same time, you know, how do I renounce those attachments? And so here is a wonderful phrase for all of us. It is a duty of the householder to make family members happy. And by following this Tarpana system, he can make his forefathers happy also. So it's not, you know, just our family members who are living with us. We also, this is also part of our Dharma in the material world. Lord, as the perfect exemplary householder, Lord Sri Krishna followed this Tarpana system and offered respectful obeisances to the elderly superior members of his family. His next duty was to give cows in charity to the brahmanas. Every day, Lord Krishna used to give many groups of 13,084 cows. Each of the cows was decorated with a silken cover and pearl necklace. Their horns were covered with gold plating, and their hooves were silver plated. All of them were full of milk due to having their firstborn calves with them, and they were very tame and peaceful. When the cows were given in charity to the brahmanas were also given nice silken garments, and each was given a deerskin and sufficient quantity of sesame seeds. The Lord is generally known as Go Brahmana Hatayacha, which means that his first duty is to see to the welfare of the cows and the brahmanas. Thus, he used to give cows in charity to the brahmanas with opulent decorations and paraphernalia. Then, wishing for the welfare of all living entities, he would touch auspicious articles such as milk, honey, ghee, clarified butter, gold, jewels, and fire. Although the Lord is by nature very beautiful due to the perfect figure of his transcendental body, he would dress himself in yellow garments and put on his necklace of Kastuba jewels. He would wear flower garlands, smear his body with the pulp of sandalwood, and decorate himself with similar cosmetics and ornaments. It is said that the ornaments themselves became beautiful upon being placed on the transcendental body of the Lord. After decorating himself in this way, the Lord would then look at marble statues of the cow and calf, and visit temples of gods or demigods like Lord Shiva. There were many brahmanas who would come daily to see the Supreme Lord before taking their breakfast. They were anxious to see him, and he welcomed them. His next duty was to please all kinds of men belonging to the different castes, both in the city and within the palace compound. He made them happy by fulfilling their different desires, and when the Lord saw them happy, he also became very pleased. The flower garlands, betel nuts, sandalwood pulp, and other fragrant cosmetic articles offered to the Lord would be distributed by him, first to the brahmanas and the elderly members of the family, then to the queens, and then to the ministers. And if there were still some balance, he would engage it for his own personal use. By the time the Lord finished all these daily duties and activities, his charioteer, Daruka, would come with his wonderful chariot to the stand, to stand before the Lord with folded hands, intimating that the chariot was ready. And the Lord would come out of the palace to travel. Then the Lord, accompanied by Uddhava and Satyaki, would ride on the chariot just as the sun god rides on his chariot in the morning, appearing with his blazing rays on the surface of the world. When the Lord was about to leave his palaces, all the queens would look at him with feminine gestures. The Lord would respond to their greetings with smiles, attracting their hearts so much that they would feel intense separation from him before he even left, you know, just seeing his gaze. And then I'll just read this one last paragraph. And again, please read the rest on your own through the book or by going to Vedabase. So then the Lord would go to the assembly house known as Sudharma. It may be remembered that the Sudharma assembly house was taken away from the heavenly planets and established to the city of Dwarka. The specific significance of the assembly house was that anyone who entered it would be freed from the six kinds of material pangs, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death. These are the whips of material existence. And as long as one remained in that Sudharma assembly house, he would not be affected by these six material whips. The Lord would say goodbye in all 16,000 palaces. And again, he would become one and enter the Sudharma assembly house in procession with other members of the Yadu dynasty. After entering the assembly house, he used to sit on the exalted royal throne and would be seen to emanate glaring rays of transcendental effulgence. In the midst of all the great heroes of the Yadu dynasty, Krishna resembled the full moon in the sky, surrounded by multiluminaries in the assembly house, where professional jokers, dancers, musicians, and ballet girls. And as soon as the Lord sat on his throne, they would begin their respective functions to please the Lord and put him in a happy mood. First of all, the jokers would talk in such a way that the Lord and his associates would enjoy their humor, which would refresh the morning mood. The dramatic actors would then play their parts, and the dancing ballet girls would separately display their artistic movements. All these functions would be accompanied by the beating of the mridanga drums and the sounds of the veena, flutes, and bells, followed by the sound of the muraja, another type of drum. To these musical vibrations, the auspicious sound of the conch shell would be added. The professional singers called suttas and magadas would sing, and others would perform their dancing art. In this way, as devotees, they would offer respectful prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes learned brahmanas present in that assembly would chant Vedic hymns and explain them to the audience to the best of their knowledge. And sometimes some of them would recite old historical accounts of the activities of prominent kings. The Lord, accompanied by his associates, would be very pleased to hear them. So thank you for letting me read that to all of you. Again, it was a meditation for myself as well, and also to get instruction from this particular text of Krishna book. I also, as Kirtita Sundari mentioned at the beginning, and also as I mentioned, the inspiring comments of Maharaj this morning about how we need to be examples of grahastas, of the perfect grahasta, so to speak. I was put in mind of a class that Krishnadan Prabhu gave to us quite some time ago on the ideal grahasta life. So I encourage you to go to the Bhakti Sangha Group yoga YouTube page and look at that class, because he made some very beautiful points. And I just noted some of them that I wanted to share. And he made the point, first of all, that, there's a difference as Grihamedi and Grihastha, the Grihastha ashram. And one of the things that I really appreciated that he said is, you know, Grihamedi is based on sense gratification, but the Grihastha ashram is based on service. And he also made the point that an ashram is sacred. It's something sacred and divine. And that's something that, I aspire to live in and perform my duties as a grahasta in a grahasta ashram, and to, avoid, living a grihamedi lifestyle. One other point I want to just share this, that Krishnadan did mention as well. Let me do this quickly. I'm sorry, because I know I'm running out of time and I don't want to keep you all. This text from the seventh canto, chapter 14, text 3 and 4. And I'm just going to read the translation and purport, because again, I know I'm running out of time and I don't want to keep everyone. He brought up this point, and it's very beautiful and something that I found very moving and inspiring. A grahastha must associate again and again with saintly persons, and with great respect he must hear the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Lord and his incarnations, as these activities are described in Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas. Thus one should gradually become detached from the affection of his wife and children, exactly like a man awakening from a dream. And the purport: the Krishna consciousness movement has been established to give grahasthas all over the world an opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita specifically. The process, as described in many ways, is one of hearing and chanting Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Everyone, especially the grahasthas who are mudadi, ignorant about the goal of life, should be given opportunities to hear about Krishna simply by hearing, by attending lectures in different centers of the Krishna consciousness movement, where topics of Krishna from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are discussed. They will be purified from their sinful inclination of constant indulgence in illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, which have all become prominent in modern days. Thus, they can be raised to the status of light, punya, shravana, kirtana, simply by joining the kirtana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by hearing about Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, one must be purified, especially if he also takes prasad. This is all going on in the Krishna consciousness movement. And so I'm going to stop there with that purport. But again, you know, we are so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has given us this movement. He has started this movement in Kali Yuga to help us all become purified. And as members of attendees of Bhakti Sangha Japa Group, we are all participating in what that purport said. We are all daily hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. We are all participating in devotional service. We are all becoming, you know, gradually becoming purified so that we can go back home to Godhead. And before I end, I just wanted to share some other things that I found very inspiring. I can't, unfortunately, share this on the screen, but I just want to read some of the texts from Padmavali, only because, again, this class for me, it was about my own purification and my sadhana. And I wanted to share some verses that I have found inspiring from this text. So the first is text 8, and it speaks of the glories of devotional service. So I'm actually just going to read the translations as well, because again, I know I'm short on time. So where were the hunter dharma's piety, Dhruva's maturity, and Gajendra's knowledge? Where was Kubja's beauty? Where was Sudama's wealth? Where was Vidura's noble birth? Where was Ugrasena's chivalrous strength? Lord Madhava is pleased only by devotional service and not by material qualifications. And it's that quote, that verse is attributed to Sri Dakshinatya. And then I wanted to share another one with you all. This is text 34 in Padyavali. Calling out, O Srikanta, husband of the goddess of fortune, O Krishna, all attractive one, O Karuna Maya, merciful one, O Kanjanaba, whose navel is like a lotus flower, O Kaval Kavalya Vallabha, O Master of Liberation. O Mukunda, Giver of Liberation. O Muratanka, Killer of the Mura Demon. I will place upon my neck the Lord's holy names, which eclipse the beauty of a splendid strand of pearls. I thought that was beautiful. And that's attributed to Sri Lakshmidara. And then the next one I wanted to share is, on my evening prayer, all good unto you. On my morning bath, I bid you goodbye. O demigods and forefathers, please excuse me. I am unable to perform any more offerings for your pleasure. Now I have decided to free myself from all reactions to sins simply by remembering anywhere and everywhere the great descendant of Yadu and the great enemy of Kamsa, Lord Krishna. I think that this is sufficient for me. So what is the use of further endeavors? And that was from Sri Madhavendra Puri. Here's one more. Those devoted to poetry may praise the nectar of poetry. And those devoted to Vedic study may praise the nectar of impersonal Brahman. We will praise neither. We will simply take shelter of a flutist who wears a gunja necklace. And of course, that's talking about our sweet Krishna. And that's from Sri Yadavendra Puri. And then I'll share just one more. Okay, and here's another one. I feel really attached to this one. We are not poets. We are not logicians. We are not philosophers who have crossed to the farther shore of Vedanta. We are not eloquent debaters. We are the servants of a rascal cowherd boy. And that's from Sri Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Hare Krishna. So that concludes what little bit I could share with you all. I hope that I have not said anything incorrect or offensive, or I hope that I did some small service today. I'm very grateful for your mercy in allowing me to read that that chapter from Krishna book. And I also encourage you to go back and read some more of it yourselves, or read the rest of it. It does go into some very beautiful topics. And, you know, the next part that I didn't get to read was speaking about Jarasandha and how the 20,000 kings had appealed to Krishna as he was in the Sudharma assembly to rescue them from imprisonment. And so, as we all know, the story of Jarasandha, how Krishna defeated him 17 times. And so, in that setting up for the next chapter, which speaks of that. So again, thank you so very much for your kind patience and attention today, and for allowing me to serve again in this very small way. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And thank you all for your beautiful association every morning. I'm so grateful to all of you. Hare Bol, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Dehiri Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances, Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for this beautiful session, Mataji. And also you quoted the what is the real bhakti, how to do bhakti yoga, for quoting from others' books also, Mataji. And it added some more clarification to our doubts, Mataji. And I have a question, Mataji. While Krishna is performing his daily activities, waking up in the morning, and he's meditating on himself. So can you give clarification, Mataji, how we can understand that Krishna is meditating on himself? Means how we can understand that?
Yes, so as the text read, because Krishna is the supreme, you know, there are two things. So he is the supreme. So there's nothing else for him to meditate on. And also he is acting as the exemplar. He is acting to show us how we should perform our duties each day. So he is meditating on himself that's part of his sadhana in the morning, because he can't meditate on something else. He can't meditate, you know, on the demigods, you know, per se, you know, specifically, because they are, you know, parts of his limbs, his body. So he meditates on the supreme, just like we're supposed to do. Is that okay, Mataji? Is that?
Yeah, that is okay, Mataji. Means I got like a little clarification, Mataji, but I need some more clarification. Why he has to meditate? Because as you said, he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no need him to meditate because everything is in under his control.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Mataji. So what is the need for Supreme Personality of Godhead to meditate?
So he is again acting as an example for us, because when he comes to this world, he is, you know, this whole chapter is about his daily activities and how he performs those activities as the perfect householder. And so by meditating on himself, which is, as it also says in the text, by meditating on himself, which is non-different from, chanting the Maha Mantra, he is showing us how we are supposed to behave. So he is being that example to show us what our duties are as householders.
Yeah, understood, Mataji. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji, once again for this beautiful class. So, Hare Krishna, dear devotees. So, please go ahead with your realizations. You can share your realizations, or do you have any comments to share with Mataji? Please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, go ahead, Kaumodiki Mataji. Please go ahead.
Mataji, see, I have was thinking, like you were asking Shyam Supriya Mataji, why he's meditating on himself. And you gave him a very nice answer. And then there's another way, is also in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, yajjat acharati shrestas. Whoever the kind of leader kind of, or bodhis, honorable person, who does it, the form other people, ordinary people like me, they follow. So to say, for them to do that, that's what he doing. He doesn't, and also he says that there is nothing they need, he needs to do, or there's no work is prescribed for him. And then he doesn't have want anything, but he still acts. He is not in a need and he doesn't want anything, but still he acts to set an example so the common people can follow. Otherwise, I will be the cause of their Varnasankara population, he says. The Varnasankara population means unwanted population. So when they meditate, when Krishna meditates on himself, and we are supposed to be meditating on him, but for some of us may want to meditate on some devatas, and like that, so when they perform those activities. But meditation is a main point, and a main point of main point is to meditate on Krishna. But not everybody is going to do that because they have different desires and different thinking powers and like that. So they do meditate on devatas. The meditation there is a main problem point. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji, Tiffany Mataji. Very nice class. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Komodaki Mataji, thank you so very much for your addition. That was very beautiful in quoting Krishna in Bhagavatam. I mean, I'm sorry, in Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Yes, absolutely. Whatever, you know, a great man does, common men will follow. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Komodaki Mataji, for adding that point that meditation is important, and that too, meditation, Supreme Personality of Godhead is important. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Tiffany, all glories to Prabhupada. Please accept my humble obeisances. This was a fantastic class, and I will tell you the truth. As you said in the beginning, we would wonder what's so exciting or whatever about a chapter that talks about Krishna's daily activities, right? But as you said, it was just so point on. You know, I was thinking myself, especially because I've been having a very difficult time getting up early lately. Things have just been so hectic, and I've been upset about it. But just the thought, even if you want to stay, you just have to do it, you know, that whole mood. I mean, it seemed like Krishna was talking to me, you know. So I really, really appreciate this class. I mean, everything, all of your insights that you gave. And yes, as you say, we are grihasthas, and this is so important for us to understand. And so I really, really thank you from the bottom of my heart. It seems that Krishna always provides exactly what I need when I need it. So I will take this as instruction from Krishna about what I need to do to make my sadhana stronger. And I really, really appreciate this chapter. And I'm going to request, please, please sing your song. It is the most beautiful song. I don't know if I wasn't here for the introduction. I'm sorry. I was thinking of somebody else. Sorry. But thank you. But thank you very much for this wonderful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Panishri Mataji, for your comments. I really appreciate them because, yes, as you said, Krishna always provides what we need when we need it. And again, I chose this for my own purification because I needed that inspiration as well for my sadhana. So thank you. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji, Dhanvat Pranams. Sorry, was anybody else going to speak, Mataji?
It was me, Mataji. Please go ahead, Mataji.
You sure, Vinita, you want to go ahead?
No, Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji.
Sure, thank you so much, Vinita. Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji, that was a very nice meditative class. And the verses which you picked in presented, perhaps I may not even have read it, you know, so far. So it was very useful and very, very instructive to me too, like how to understand like Krishna's daily activities. And the start especially was very attractive, like how you started off with saying that when the Supreme Lord, you know, does not have any activities to perform, so how can we remember his activities? Because the Bhagavad Gita says that, you know, remembering the Supreme Lord's activities is our way to perfection. So I was wondering, the start itself, you started with a very big bang. And the reason you give Shyam Supriya Mataji, that Krishna is presenting an example to us, is that the only reason, Mataji? Or can you think of anything else as to why Krishna performs so many activities, Mataji?
Additional reasons to why Krishna performs so many activities. Yes, as I said, to be an example. And also, he also, through doing so, as you'll read in if you finish this this particular pass or this particular chapter of Krishna book, it also goes on to explain that when the letter comes from Jarasandha, I mean, about from the kings who have been imprisoned by this king, that Krishna turns to Uddhava. He turns to Uddhava to get counsel on how he should handle the situation. And by turning to Uddhava, close companion and cousin, what he's doing is actually glorifying. He's giving Uddhava the opportunity and the glory of counseling and advising him. So when Krishna's performing these daily duties, what he's doing is interacting with us, or not with us, but with his devotees, and giving a chance to glorify them and allowing them to perform service. It also speaks about how Narada Muni also comes right before the courier with the letter from the imprisoned kings comes. Narada Muni shows up, and in Bhagavatam it speaks about how when Narada Muni comes, he visited each of Krishna's palaces with each of his different wives, and Krishna was performing all of these beautiful activities simultaneously. But in each of these palaces, Krishna was again greeting and welcoming Narada Muni as a beautiful example of a householder, you know, how we should welcome and serve sages when they visit our homes. And so he's also interacting with devotees and glorifying them for their service. So I hope that's okay, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. I was just wondering if there is any reference to Krishna being Raso Vaisaha, the epitome of all rasas, and he enjoys his personal relationships. And so, I mean, I was just wondering if there's any mention towards that in the purport. So,
it doesn't say that in the purport specifically, but. Again, just, those interactions, like I said, with Narada Muni, glorifying or, serving him in that way and, having that relationship. And again, his relationship with Uddhava, his cousin brother and close, intimate associate, asking him for his counsel when, of course, Krishna, doesn't need to do that. He knows what to do. And then again, in that pastime, it goes on to explain how, Krishna, Uddhava came up with this wonderful plan for Krishna to go to Yudhisthira in the Pandavas, again, to pay his obeisances to Yudhisthira, and at the same time, be able to address the situation with the kings who had been imprisoned. And again, he's showing different relationships with each of them and different interactions with them. And so yes, Mataji, yes.
Thank you again, Mataji, for that meditative class. It was very nice to hear. Thank you so much, Mata. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. And please, devotees, if anyone has anything else to add to that, please feel free to do so.
Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. No, you don't see me.
I'm looking for you. I'm on audio. Padmasaki?
Yes.
Is this you? Oh, okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Mataji, thank you for choosing this topic. It's really... at least for me, like Phaneshwari Lakshmi Mataji is mentioning, in my daily activities, I miss so many on schedule, off schedule. So I get so frustrated sometimes on myself when I don't do it in a disciplined way. But now when we see how the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, when he was on this planet, how his daily activities and how his schedule was, like it's really... it's very, very important. I think at least that is very inspiring. And at least for the next few days, it's like a boost to do my thing properly. Thank you so much for choosing this topic, Mataji. Thank you for mentioning all the points.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for attending the class. And yes, I'm glad that you were able to find something from it that served you. Yes, because again, it's we all, some of us struggle. I can't speak for everyone. in our sadhana, and it truly is, you know, of course we have all of these beautiful festivals and we have all of these, you know, we have Ekadashi and we have all of these, you know, wonderful and exciting things happening in our Krishna consciousness. However, you know, our daily sadhana is, at least from my small realization, from what I can understand, is that our daily sadhana is the way that we truly build a relationship with Krishna. And, you know, as far as I know, that's what we're here to do. It's about building that relationship and honoring, you know, him in that way. And I know I have experienced myself that our relationship with Krishna is purely reciprocal. And so, you know, by us showing up every day for our sadhana as best we can, you know, because we all, none of us can do it perfectly every day. And yes, some of us are tired in the morning. It's, you know, it is an austerity for us to get up early and, you know, or we may be sick or, you know, whatever's happening. We cannot always perform our sadhana perfectly every day. But if at least if we're showing up and we're making the effort, because Krishna is so merciful, you know, that's how we build a relationship. That's how we, you know, build that deep connection to Krishna. You know, it's not just through our festivals and all of the exciting things that happen in Krishna consciousness.
Hare Krishna. I like that explanation. Thank you for adding all those points, and thanks for the question and answers. Everybody would have asked were very nice questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Padmasakhi.
Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful, beautiful class, Mataji. You're talking about your sadhana. You are very, very good in your sadhana, Mataji. As soon as I on my computer, I see you on the call already. You're from EST, you join earlier than me, and you're right on the time. I never see you miss. I think only two times, I think, maybe you are traveling, you were not there on the call. Once or twice, all these days you joined Bhakti Sangha, I only saw that with 2 days or 1 day that you were missed, that too only because you were traveling, I guess. And thank you so much for your, you know, apt on time, you'll be there for chanting, you'll be chanting very nicely, and you'll be there for all the services. Thank you. And beautiful class, Mataji. You just read what Srila Prabhupada is saying in each and every purport, and you connected from CC, Bhagavatam, Krishna book, in every way, and Padyavali at the end. It was so beautiful, Mataji. Thank you so much. As Krishna is showing himself as example, and how we have to get up in the morning before 3 hours before the Brahma Muhurtam, before the sunrise, and how we have to do our daily activities so that seeing us, everybody will follow. Like Krishna is, by seeing Krishna, everybody is following. We are all doing it. Thank you so much, Mataji. As Padmasakhi Mataji said, this class helps us to build our sadhana more, build our time, and also manage our time well, so that we will be perfectly there in the early morning chanting, and also rest of our daily duties for Krishna and pleasing Krishna, as you said. And that way we build up our relationship with Krishna and we go back to Krishna. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class and nice question answer session. Thank you, Mataji, for your sweet association.
Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. All glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. All glories to your beautiful class, Mataji. Very meditative. And I hope you can hear me.
I can, yes. I just can't see you.
So, Mataji, very wonderful class. And I loved how, you know, you the points that you make in addition to reading the text also. It was very beautiful, Mataji. Especially you were saying that somehow or the other, Krishna will provide that association. You know, when we really need it, he is going to give that to us. And I have seen that. I mean, I've seen that happen so many times. And I'm so grateful to all of you, you know, for making making this association so beautiful and so it's very fulfilling coming in here and being a part of Bhakti Sangha itself, you know, makes me feel so good. My day is incomplete without it. That's how I feel. And I'm sure you feel the same way because you are so active and you take so much responsibility for everything on the call. I also loved how, I mean, of course, all of Krishna's activities, the way you were explaining it was very beautiful. And how at the end you said that we are servants of the Lord in a very, very sweet way. I like that verse. Is that from Patiyavali, Mataji? Because you were saying that was from Madhav Pendrapuri.
Yes, yes. It's so yeah, Patiyavali.
Patiyavali.
Yes, it has.
Yes, very beautiful meditations. You had, yeah, all of those verses that you had explained or read the translations. That was all very, 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 I mean, it makes us feel a connection, a closeness to Krishna all the more. Yeah. And like Vinita Mataji was saying, right, you know, when we are like, and like what Maharaj was saying today, you talked about it again, that, you know, when we are very fixed in our sadhana, when we do our sadhana very well, then we will be inspiration for others. We will be able to bring more and more people into Krishna consciousness. Thank you so much, Mataji, for such a wonderful session. Very, very grateful to you and very happy to be in your association, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. I'm so happy to be in your association. I'm so grateful for you. And like you said, I'm so grateful for all of the devotees in our group. We're all just so blessed to be together. It's Krishna has given us such an amazing arrangement. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. This is Anuradha Mataji. Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances, Mataji. Thank you. As everybody is saying, it's a beautiful class, Mataji. I mean, yeah, I mean, so long we have been listening to the Leelas. Now this is the activities of Krishna himself. And as you have beautifully explained, like how he does things so that we do things rightly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to come down as a devotee to show us how to be. So we need to be shown again and again. And yet person like me still forget and get back to Maya. But thank you for reminding once again, Mataji, our duties as a sadhaka. And the way you narrate and whenever you read, even in Bhakti Sangha, it is so beautiful. It is always it's such a pleasure to listen to you and very, 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 very beautifully narrated and your own realizations, Mataji. I'm very grateful to you. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Dandavat pranam, Mataji.
Thank you, Anuradha Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Tiffany.
Hare Krishna, Gail.
I'm trying to get on, but everybody's beating me to the punch. Yeah, but I'm glad I'm following Anuradha because I too wanted to, you know, let you know how much I appreciate the way you read, you know. Normally I'm afraid when people say they're going to read from something, you know, because then, you know.
But you thrown out.
Well, you know, it becomes a little more difficult to pay attention, but your reading is so, you know, expressive and natural that it's like you're not reading, so... So I really appreciate that. I do have a couple of questions. You know, I just wanted to, one question is when we say that Krishna has no duties to perform, right? Mm-hmm. So my understanding is that, well, he doesn't have any duties to perform because, yes, he's God, but, you know, he's supreme. So there's nothing that he has to do. Unlike us, we have duties that we have to do. But the reason why we have duties is because we're conditioned and we need to be purified of our conditioning. Obviously, Krishna is not conditioned, so he doesn't have any purity, and he doesn't have any purification to undergo. So Is that the reason why we say that he has no duties to perform, or is there some other reason other than the fact that, you know, because he's the supreme and he is not conditioned or contaminated by the modes? Is there some other reason, or, you know, I'm just trying to get a little more clarity about that statement.
Right. Actually, that's, your understanding is the same understanding that I have. So if there's something else, if anyone would like to add, but from my understanding is the same, is that our duty, yes, we have duties because we need purification in order to go back home to Godhead. God is, you know, Krishna does not need purification. He does not, you know, need duties per se. In this world, he's Krishna, he's all attractive, he has all of the opulences, he's perfect, you know, so to speak. The only other thing that I can think of in from a practical standpoint is that you know, Krishna is unaffected, or, you know, by the material world, and you know, the demigods are in charge of all the various duties within the world. I'm so sorry. There's a phone call coming in. I don't want it to just interrupt the picture. Anyway, you know, again, the only thing I can think of is from a practical standpoint, you know, all of the duties, so to speak, are performed by demigods. And again, my small realizations, but if there are any other devotees who would like to add to that, please do.
Otherwise, I would move on to, just one other thing I wanted to get your thoughts on. You know, whenever, I'm always trying to like really get it solid about the distinction between imitating and following in Krishna's or the great devotee's footsteps, you know. And so, you know, a line that kind of popped into my head from my head is that, you know, imitating is to imitate Krishna when he's doing like godly things, but following Krishna, following in his footsteps, is to imitate Krishna when he's behaving like an ordinary person. So it's like in either case, there's maybe imitation, but when it's like pure imitation, is we're trying to do things that's even beyond, you know, human capacity. Whereas following in the footsteps is imitation, that when we're imitating Krishna's more human-like activities, something like that. So that's the distinction that I come up with. I don't know if you want to give your own distinction.
Yeah. Right. So like you just said, and as it says at the beginning of that chapter, that, you know, of course, it's not humanly possible for us to completely imitate Krishna. At the same time, again, from my understanding, you know, imitating is trying to be, you know, without... So there are a couple of ways that I look at that. It's trying to outwardly be something without actually feeling it, without actually, you know, feeling it in our hearts and in our souls, and just trying to be it externally. Mm-hmm. And to me, following in the footsteps is more about taking inspiration from someone else's activities rather than trying to do exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I like that.
That works for us. Yeah. No, yeah. But I mean, that's, again, that's just my understanding of it. Because, you know, because, you know, oftentimes when I hear that same question come up in classes, it's often, you know, that's sahaja, you know, that's by imitating, where, again, that outward appearance of, you know, being the pure devotee, or, you know, maybe shedding tears or trying to show external signs of bhava or prema when we're not at that level, and, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. That's often what I hear in classes.
Yeah, it seems like it's this imitation versus following in footsteps. It seems, you know, by the points you bring out, it seems like it's a multifaceted kind of distinction, you know? It's like on various levels, you know?
Right. But if we take inspiration from others, you know, for instance, we, you know, like Srila Prabhupada or other, you know, pure or advanced devotees that we know even today, I mean, you mm-hmm. know, it's not helpful for us to try to do exactly what they do, because we're not going to even experience those things in the exact same way. So, yeah. And so, you know, we're not going to really have a lot of inspiration just from doing, you know, exactly what they're doing.
Right. Right.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah. And and another thing is that, you know, you follow the principle of what the great souls do rather than the exact thing. You know, we can't do what Prabhupada did, but we can follow him in principle, in terms of, you know, depending upon Krishna and sacrificing whatever we have from in our own world, you know, the way he did.
Thank you so much for adding that point. Thank you for saying it that way. I'm so grateful for that, Gail. That was perfect. Yeah, that was beautiful. I'm grateful. Because, oh, yes, that's definitely.
Well, I'm going to have to listen to the recording to hear that.
yeah. No, that was, because that's also how I've heard it in other classes, that we follow the principle, you know.
Uh-huh. Like
the principle, and then the detail of it, you know. I mean, you know, there's the overarching principle, and then, you know, the details are about time, place, and circumstance.
Yeah. And what's included in that circumstance is our own, the specifics of our own individual lives, you know.
So, and our services, yeah.
You and I, we have different propensities, we have different, you know, family situations, you know, so, you know, the way we follow the principle is going to vary accordingly.
Right. And we all have different services, you know. I mean, you know, we're all, well, specifically for initiated devotees who are all, you know, doing their services as given by their Guru Maharajas, you know, they may have to serve in the temple, but everybody is doing something different, but they're all serving in the temple, you know, so.
Yeah, well, that's what I would have included in, like, circumstances, you know, like,
right.
that kind of. Okay, I promise this is the very last thing that I'm going to say very quickly. You know, when we were talking about the fact that we should make our family happy, I just felt, you know, maybe it's an obvious thing what I'm about to say, but I just felt the need to say it anyway, that, you know, we had to make sure that we're not making our family happy in, like, by serving their whims, you know? Right. You know, we have to, like, first define, you know, have the proper definition of happiness in focus. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'll end up serving our family's whims and not really supporting their Krishna consciousness, which is what happiness is supposed to be, you know. So making our family happy means dealing with them in a way that is conducive for their progress in Krishna consciousness, rather than just giving them whatever they want, you know,
right,
and calling that happy, you know, making them happy, you know.
So, yeah.
That's it. I'm done.
No, absolutely. Thank you for adding that point as well. That's important for us to all note. as well, because yes, but I want to add too, is I think it's also, that's also about, you know, providing their needs, you know, it's not yes. providing their wants, so to speak, like you said, mm-hmm. not being whimsical, but, you know, providing their needs. I mean, that's part of our dharma as householders. And
yeah, because providing the needs supports the Krishna consciousness. If exactly. you don't provide their needs, there will be no inspiration.
Right.
To pursue bhakti.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like, you know, we have to bring people have to come to the platform of being human sometimes before they can come to the platform of being spiritual.
Yes.
No.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
And if we're struggling so much, it's hard to come to that platform of humanity and of being humane mm-hmm. To others. So, yeah.
Thank you, Tiffany. So excited when I learned that you were, when I saw that in the chat that you were going to be on.
So, well, thank you so much. It's just so good to hear your voice again. It's been too long.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji. I'm so glad to see you speak on it. Honestly, I didn't hear the full class because I'm traveling, but it's such a pleasure to see you on the call, hear some words from you, and definitely I'm going to catch up on the recording and I'll text you. I'm sure it must have been fantastic. Thank you so much. We are so grateful to you for coming on the call and speaking a few words from the Krishna book. So thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Balasini Mataji. I'm so happy to see you. Thank you for blessing me with your presence, for blessing all of us.
It's a blessing to have you, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Anybody have any realizations to share with Mataji or any questions?
Hare Krishna, Tiffany Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisance. It's such a beautiful and wonderful class, Mataji. So nice to hear from you, and your realizations and your answers were amazing, Mataji. Thank you so much. Yeah, that point I really like Krishna was waking up before 3 hours early of Brahma Muta. By that, we can do our daily activities also without stopping and everything. So that point really stuck me, and we have to go with that point. Thank you so much for bringing this topic, and amazing having your association. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Radharani Mataji. So wonderful to hear your voice. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Tiffany Mataji, I would like to read all the realizations at the end of the class, Mataji.
Good, yes.
And we have lots of interesting realizations, Mataji. I would like to read those. So at the end of the class, I will read, Mataji. Okay, I think I can go ahead with reading, Mataji. So first, Mataji, Lalitangi Mataji shared her. She is also an excellent yoga teacher. Raj Prabhu said, all-rounder Mataji, Jai. Parima Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for a wonderful class. It is so soul-satisfying to hear about Krishna's daily activities. Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thanks, Tiffany Mataji, for your deep, deep association. Shivani Mataji. Hare Krishna Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much for so beautifully enlightening us today. And for your wonderful association, Hare Krishna, Shivani. Uttarayani Mataji said, Hare Krishna Mataji, Pranam. Thank you for such a wonderful class and association, Hari Bol. Lakshmi Mataji, Hare Krishna, thank you, Mataji, for the wonderful class and association. Jai Sachinandana.
Lalitangi Radha Mataji again. This class is so pleasant, like the fragrance of the Parijata flowers and the sweet perfume of flowers. Beautiful like your smile, Mataji. Thank you. Subhadra Mataji. Hare Krishna Mataji. Such a wonderful and beautiful class. You are such a natural speaker. You shared such meditative realizations. Thank you. Raj Prabhu again. Very nice class. Very inspiring for a new person like me. Thanks. Akshita Mataji. Beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much. Your association is so special. Would love to hear from you again and again. Anuradha Mataji. So we meditate when he meditates, but we don't try to lift Govardhan when he does so. Is a question from Anuradha Mataji.
Yes, exactly, Anuradha. We take inspiration and follow his example, but we don't try to imitate him. We don't try to lift Govardhan.
Thank you, Mataji. That was a discussion between you and Gail Mataji and Gaurangi Mataji when she said that we do the human activities and not the godly activities. So I just right. added that. Yeah. Hare Krishna, thank you once again, Mataji.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
Akshita Mataji said, Gaurangi Mataji, we would love to hear from you too. This is for Gaurangi Mataji. You have such wonderful questions, Mataji. Sure, your class will be too wonderful. And Priti Mataji said, I second it. Okay. And Gail Mataji, that's so sweet of both of you to encourage me in that way. Thank you so much, Akshita. It's okay. Now, Vrinda, okay. Vrinda Mataji, okay. Okay. Okay, Mataji, so those are the wonderful and sweet realizations from all the participants on our Zoom call, Mataji. So it's like, again, a very, very special class given by you, Mataji. It's so wonderful to hear from you the daily activities of Krishna and so much realizations with this class, Mataji. And thanks once again, Mataji, for being on the call and giving your very precious time, Mataji, and giving some new insights into Lord Krishna's daily activities and what we have to learn from these activities, from his activities. Thank you so much, Mataji. So, dear devotees, if there are no more any realizations for Mataji, then we can end our today's call by paying our obeisances to Mataji and all the devotees on the call. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindhu vyaye vacha namo namo
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.